Start talking. I don't know how to request. Let's go. How's it going, sir?
Decided to click the speaker button. Not sure if Howard wants to come up as a speaker.
Well, I've got Howard right here.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Hello. Not too bad. Let's start shilling the out of this spaces.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's the goal. It's the inter-shill.
The inter-shill.
All right.
Yes.
So, what's the alpha we're dropping today?
Well, we're dropping the alpha that Abstract Life gets on tweets right now. I'm going to quote it.
We're in the bike lane.
I don't. Come chill.
Come chill with it.
With the interchange.
Interchill crew. Come chill to entertain.
Oh my gosh, can we add a picture? All right, we can. Oh yeah, but you can't. Oh yeah, you can. Uh-oh. Come chill if you're chill.
Oh sweet, the archway thing went up.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Should tell people to show up and talk about the archway thing.
Talk about the archway thing.
The QF thing. Quadratic funding.
If you can to entertain.
I don't know. Here, you're in charge of this. I started this.
Oh, the tweet?
Yeah.
I think I was going to get the pronunciation started. Okay.
It's ping pong,
oh,
dude.
God.
Ping pong. Can we make a knock-knock joke with entertain? Knock-knock joke?
Knock-knock.
Like, how cringe can we be?
Be as cringe as you like, I guess.
Knock. Ugh.
What? Knock knock? More like
no.
STD ack? Ack?
Yeah, ack. Knock ack.
What? Would you like to describe the IVC connection process?
Yeah. That's the whole joke, dude.
Knock knock? So STD bad. Knock? How about come show the interchain until? I don't know.
Come chill.
Chill with the interchain.
Or just give it the most incendiary title of all time.
Like?
What's wrong with Cosmos and how can we just post up something like that and you'll have people flooding in just to talk about it. That has been my experience on Spaces.
All right. What's wrong with Cosmos?
No. Let's ideally not do that. Let's not make an incendiary.
Oh, no.
We're getting mixed signals here.
Yeah, we're getting mixed signals. I'm hearing full incendiation. Full incendiary. Let's light Cosmos on fire.
I'm hearing napalm, dude. Napalm's got it.
All right, we got the cranberries.
Oh, yeah. The cranberries. Hilarious, dude.
We're about to get copyright strike.
I'm busy tweeting. I can't get the microphone to turn off. So, Cosmwazam and chill.
And then let's throw the link into like the laptop and chill group and go to those other places where there's devs.
Yes. Chilling the future of interchain.
What is interchain?
pitching multi-million-dollar business ideas for free.
That's pretty good.
How about live interchain pitch competition?
Potential giveaways. The giveaways are knowledge.
No. I don't want to get sued.
Live.
Hello, poor brew.
Come, chill and chill. Can we make a... What's something like your ass is grass except Cosmoism or dirty? Like, or like, if you're not there, you're square. What's the phrase? Be there or be square?
That's the one. It's a very boomer saying.
Yes. You know, I was thinking about, like, you know, jokes we could make about, you know, Solidity devs. I mean, they do a great job and all, but, you know, we're in a new era now. So, but the best I could come up with was, like, Solidity? More like, so limitedly. Yep.
Chill. Horrible.
And we have another listener. Hello, hello.
We need some emojis.
We need some emojis.
Some rockets. Would you like to join, listener? Interchain pitch competition live.
Let's see. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's get the suite out, and then we'll sit down and actually have a conversation.
A real conversation.
Yes. So, currently walking on a pier in Istanbul.
Lisbon.
Lisbon.
Not sure which part of the world you're in anymore. Been traveling too much. Oh man, Mr. Poraburu, you are a Torontonian, just like me. Welcome.
Canadian bot.
Canadia.
Canadia.
Or, as I have been called, America's hat.
We need a term like boomers, except for EVM devs.
Oh yeah, dude.
So like, maybe we can ideate.
Solidity. What's like the closest thing that comes to solidity? Solidity. What is it? Solidity? It's like solid.
Solidity.
Solid?
Solidity, yes.
They're jelly, dude. They're fucking jelly.
Solidity and EVM, Elder VM, I don't know. We have a feeling that everyone is going to move away from Istanbul in these next 2 months and migrate to Lisbon for all the conferences.
Yeah, that's probably accurate. I think there's a lot of digital nomads that are already planning on doing that.
Yep.
Yeah. You guys are usually front-running that crowd by a fair margin.
Is that so?
I would say so, yeah. You're usually there like a couple weeks before everything kicks off, whereas most people are showing up like a day or two before the conference and staying like for a couple weeks after the conference.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather like get to know the city before it gets overrun with the, you know, the crypto folk.
That is true. It's probably a good call, actually.
Like,
yeah? In the wet? Ugh. I can scooch over a little. All right. Got the whole view of the Portuguese Sea. What is the sea called?
I think this is the Mediterranean. No. I'm always confused when I remember.
Be patient with us. We're devs, not geographers. That's what it is. When I say we, I mean that very loosely for myself.
It's actually like a big lake. What do you call that?
Big lake?
But it's connected to the sea. So.
I don't know. Is it the Strait of Lisbon? The Strait of Portugal? Netted down. I think if we say Dow enough times, Jake might join.
It's like Beetlejuice. Say it three times and he shows up.
Exactly. Dow, dow, dow. Dow, 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 dow. Hey, we just need to get Jake on here. I know he's on. He's in France right now, so he's on the interchain time zone.
Okay. Yeah, see if he's available. Have him pop in. Let's talk a little bit about DAOs.
Yeah.
I love talking about DAOs.
Always talk about DAOs. And Borgs?
Borgs?
Yeah.
Borgs are also...
Cyber organizations. I found someone at the airport yesterday with that Borg shirt on. I don't think they were actually related with crypto. I just thought it was kind of funny. We can slap this in laptop and chill. Chill. What have you been thinking about today, Sal?
I've been thinking a lot about how the hell do people make money in this industry? Like, how do you build up, like, you know, that question that you tweeted out actually yesterday has been living rent-free in my mind. Let me read it out for you. Pull it up first. Yes. What's the business, not developer case, for building in Cosmos versus Solidity? That question has absolutely been living rent-free in my mind.
As it should. I think that's like, you know, one of the most important questions we should be asking ourselves. But like, I had a great conversation today with someone who had quite a nice answer, actually. What were you saying?
Someone who provided nice answers.
Yeah, so I mean, one of the first and foremost reasons is, of course, like, when you're looking to build a new application, like, you will be able to get talented devs, and bootstrap your team much more quickly, as the number of Rust devs is far more available than in the EVM world. The second one is that because CosmWasm is WASM based. And this is like kind of leans into the developer side, but it enables you to program in any programming language that you want, as long as it has a compilation target, or, you know, a target of WASM. And then I am, do you remember what the third one is? I told you this earlier. The answer is that it's a lot more extensible, and it can work in a lot more environments. Here we go. The gas is one of the key answers, because no matter how many optimizations we make to the EVM, it's still going to be incredibly costly to commit those, you know, transactions, and to commit the proofs of them running to Ethereum, which is like the center of the world.
And why is that better with WASM?
Better with WASM because it's significantly less expensive, and it's like less prohibitive to new companies entering the market.
What's less expensive? Gas on WASM chains, you mean? On like Cosmos WASM chains?
Yeah. Well, also like just the optimizations, but you can scale a lot better using WASM, and EVM is likely hitting its scaling limit relatively soon. And so if we want like, actually, if we want like one of the biggest use cases of, you know, Web3 tech, like to migrate like the Web2 stack over there, we cannot be dealing with these limitations of the EVM using a highly specialized programming language meant for smart contracts. And yeah, maybe this works really well for, you know, financial applications, but there's more to Web3 tech than financial applications.
Yeah, I think like one of the, like, again, strictly from the business side, I feel like one of the limiting factors of actually having like proper adoption, you know, we talk a lot about like the UX, we talk a lot about like what we can do better in terms of, you know, and this is like a prevalent conversation across basically any Cosmos spaces or conversation pieces, where they always talk about these kinds of things, but what they never really talk about is like, the improved UX, having like the ability to attract normies and keep them through bear markets and stuff. What is that like? Why would they want to do that? What is the use case of them doing that? Like, we're not exactly building out like TikTok with a marketplace on chain, where there's components on chain, components off chain, which is what Abstract enables, right? But like that kind of thing, as devs and as like business people who are working in this space, building out projects and trying to make revenues and stuff, like that's not really top of mind. Everyone's thinking about how do we build out infrastructure and monetize that. And I think that the oversaturation of that kind of thought process is like, at the end result, it's dilutive to like the industry at large, isn't it?
But the increasing amount of infrastructure?
No, like the mindset, yes, being that infrastructure needs to come first. Like just infrastructure, instead of, hey, I have this business use case and like this would be the best infrastructure to build it out with.
Yeah, like exactly what Howard's saying, like that mindset switch of like, instead of how do I monetize the VCs for another infrastructure play, I feel like people at large within like the crypto space, forget about just EVM, Cosmo, forget about that tribalistic thing, like just at large, nobody's really thinking about how do I create non-speculative, you know, commercial flywheels that allowed me to attract users, create a real business model, monetize it, and then actually earn revenues from the efforts or the services that I'm providing. Like, there's basically none of that. And it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking true, dude. I think what one person also had a really good response to the Twitter. Dude, the tweet of Adair that you previously mentioned, and there's pulling it up.
Jack Samplin
wrote it. No.
What was the general subject?
You showed me the tweet earlier. Yeah, I think it was this one. And then it was.
I mean, Cosm Wasm. May, or like the cosmos right now, may be third world countries.
Here.
But yeah, long from Aura Network responded, the question itself is wrong. Why does a business care about the smart contract engine or the programming language? The dev team should choose the best tool for the job in terms of features, security, performance, adoption, etc. So like, the question truly is wrong. Like, there shouldn't be a business case for using either of them. You should just use the right one for the job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Largely agree with that. Like, if we're talking about real world business use cases, like, people are looking to really accomplish one target. They're looking to get to market first. That's 99% of real businesses that are not crypto based businesses, right? And when people are looking at that, they are just looking at the tool set and what allows them to get from 0 to 1 fastest. So to that end, yeah, like the abstract vision is 100% in line with being able to actually push that narrative forward and actually be able to leverage the real world capabilities of what crypto should be able to do, because, you know, the things that should be Web 2, like you guys believe, they should stay Web 2 because that's where they're the most viable, and that's where they're the most powerful, and people are going to be, you know, resistant to moving off of that and completely changing over their stack simply because not just the lift and maintenance is way heavier, but like, why bother with that? Whereas the additive components that crypto can kind of enable, smart contracts and stuff like that, like those are the things that we need to be offering those better tools for in order to enable those business use cases. And then we have crypto native builders who, if they want to build a holistically crypto project, the mindset, I think, needs to switch from we want to be building out like whatever the hell it is that we're trying to build out these days, another wallet, another, you know, whatever kind of marginal improvement on DEXs or whatever else have you. And we have all of these tools already. And you know, there's there's nobody who's thinking about, like, how do I put Etsy on chain? Like, how do I undercut that 3.5% rake that those guys are taking? And how do I limit that, automate a ton of the stuff, reduce all my overhead, and still have a net higher profit margin because I have no like employees or no real estate to pay for. None of that overhead actually still comes on to me. Like, these are all things that can be enabled. And we're literally, like, just as a group, nerding out over stuff that and just completely leaving so much money on the table. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think we definitely need more infrastructure for our infrastructure so that we can build better infrastructure.
Yeah, you all got some more of that infrastructure, bros? For real, man. That's really what it is. But I mean, shit, man, there's still so many things that are capable of being done. Like, we just saw this massive bull market where people were flipping fucking altcoins with pictures and, like, throwing around monkey JPEGs for hundreds of thousands of dollars with hundreds of dollars of transaction fees. And, you know, there's clearly a market for things like that. Now, I'm not saying that you need to have big number go bigger, which is what attracts people, because then again, you're pricing out the majority of your potential customer base. But there's so many things that people could be doing. And, like, the thing that kind of got me the most excited was, this is going to sound so evil and terrible, and I'm probably going to get a lot of haters just from this one statement, but I think when gaming went into, you know, exploring the concept of NFTs and blockchain enabled components for their games, I actually, like, I was a little bit sad because I was like, God damn it, more microtransactions and nickel and diming. But then I was like, you know what? Microtransactions are hella profitable, right? Like, if those things all go on chain, then all of a sudden there's a legitimate, like, proven use case for how commerce can be conducted through this industry that we all work in. And it's like, you know, why are we not thinking about that during bear markets? Why are we not thinking about that more? And instead of, like, you know, the majority of the last 18 months on Twitter has been like, why is my token just going down? Why is my short also getting blown out and then continuing to go down? Like, it's all this speculative crap because, you know, I think as builders, we tend to prioritize the speculative products because that's what we've seen be successful and that's what we continue to do. But I think when you start introducing e-commerce elements and you start opening up that aperture of your potential customer base from away from, like, single 20-year-olds who are just living in a closeted dorm instead of being out on a Friday night, and you start opening it up to, like, you know, the same way that the blogosphere opened up the internet to your average user and then created an entire new multi-billion-dollar industry, like, we should be thinking about how we can be transformative to those people too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with you, Sal. But I'm gonna try and, like, take
devil's advocate.
The opposite of that opinion and try to steel man a case for actually doing the infrastructure building. And it is that right now, like, blockchain tech is not being taken seriously by basically anyone who's got real value. Like, if you're running, like, $1 million company, $1 billion company, whatever, like, you're not interested in anything related to crypto because it's just a bunch of speculation and the technology hasn't proven itself in the sense that, like, there aren't any systems out there that these companies can use that have been proven to be resilient or, like, maintainable enough for a company to be worth the investment. So in that way, like, making it more accessible to create these kind of blockchains or products on top of blockchains or any kind of infrastructure really that needs this kind of distributed database, all those efforts should pay out if this technology is worth anything. If the technology itself is not worth anything, then
the infrastructure is also not going to be worth anything. So, and of course, we believe that that it is worth something, the idea of blockchains and these distributed databases, but maybe we're wrong on that, and only time will tell.
I think, like, I guess a good way to kind of sum that up is, like, it's essentially like a macro cold start problem for the industry at large, isn't it? Like, where we have this belief in the network effects, but then the people that we're actually trying to market to and build for, they don't see the resiliency because they haven't seen proof of concept of that. So there's got to be something in the middle where we can kind of mitigate or overcome that in some way, shape, or form. What do you think it is that we're missing? Because, like, I think, you know, the people that are listening on this call that may be listening to the recording after the fact, you know, they're probably going to be thinking about, like, okay, you know, there might be some tribalism involved. There might be an EVM person, EVM only, or they might be, like, you know, just ETH layer one only. Like, they might be Cosmosm people only. Like, you know, there might be some tribalism. There might also not be, but there's hurdles that we have to overcome that we are uniquely equipped to overcome. What do you think those hurdles are, and how do you overcome them?
I think the biggest hurdle is just time. Like, there is so much instability in the space. That, you know, Ethereum is the second largest network, but Terra was the second largest network at some point, or the third largest. I don't know, but it just shows how everything is still moving. It's kind of like the formation of the Earth, right? Like, in the beginning, when the Earth was still forming, it was too hot. There were too many changes, so life couldn't evolve. And I feel like for the real business use cases, where, like, multi-million-dollar, billion-dollar companies would get involved, it's just too nascent. Like, there's too much stuff going on. There's too much changes, too many optimizations still left on the table that they're just not ready to commit to that. And I think that's where we try to make a dent in, like, making it more of a mature technology, so that things don't change as quickly. So, like, Solana is building on Truput, Cosmos is building on sovereign chains and app chains, Ethereum is building with rollups, and all of these have different trade-offs, and they will pay off within here and a couple of years, and then after a while it'll be clear, oh, okay, Solana is good for gaming because it has massive throughput, but it's not good for anything that's more computationally expensive, because it's just a trade-off that chain made. And then once you have those like pillars solidified, then it's way easier for someone new entering the space to be like, all right, I have this business use case. What are the different stacks that are available? What are different technologies? And then how can I get started with them? And then it should be super easy for them to get started with it.
Yeah, you know, that makes sense. So in terms of, like, I just kind of want to stick on that a little bit then. So it sounds like you're thinking, like, there's no winner takes all mentality. Like, when people are exhibiting qualities of tribalism within the industry right now, because they're really just shilling a coin. It's the my bags principle, yeah. Right? Like, it's all about that. But when it comes down to, like, the real world value capture, it's more or less going to be very pragmatic decision making from organizations. So if we're thinking about, like, the whole interchain stuff, and if Cosmos really does build out DAO structures the way that we see them happening, probably organizations exist in that space, but a lot of their business processes and payment processing might happen on Solana for the throughput. And maybe they have some other stuff happening on the EVM layers, and they all iterate that way. Is that kind of what you're thinking the end game is?
Yeah. And it's probably, like, going to be super agnostic to what the underlying technology is going to be. Like, you're not necessarily going to be knowing that you're using Solana or something else. It's just going to be run on this technology. That's at least the future that I hope we're going towards.
That's a really good segue into account abstraction. How does that actually solve the problem of what it is that we're talking about, where tribalism is kind of a nonsense idea, and we really need to be thinking about, you know, optimizing what it is that we do best?
So, I mean, as Howard said, essentially, like, no one cares. No one cares what the tech is. I haven't cared what database, you know, half the websites that I use are all of the websites I use. I don't give a crap what they're using behind the scenes as long as it works. And so essentially account abstraction at its most simplest, it just pushes things away from the users because they really don't need to know. All they need to know is that they can log into a site, their data is semi-secure, and they will maintain the same identity throughout their sessions. Or maybe if they want to switch identities, they have a really easy way of doing so or recovering their accounts. Essentially, what it enables is, like, we are moving away from these externally owned accounts, these dumb accounts that only allow us to do one thing, which is initiate transactions. And it enables, like, further programmability and extensibility, and it allows, like, for a better entry point into the interchain and into this, like, internet of blockchains that we, you know, purportedly are building. One of the biggest things that have been, you know, that's limiting us right now is the wallets, the wallet infrastructure. The idea of a wallet is dumb. It's absolutely fucking dumb. And, like, why would I use this, like, you know, this little browser extension, trust this with all of my data, and like, use the same wallet to log into all of the websites? Like, yes, I use this for my Google sign-in, but, like, I can limit what every website sees from my Google sign-in. I can see explicitly what kind of permissions those websites have, whether they can access my name, my profile picture, my email, my friends, my contacts, you know, you name it. But with externally owned accounts, we are stuck with, you get to share everything, and yeah, that's it. And you know, everyone seems happy with that, but we shouldn't be. We should be excited about a future where we can go onto a new website as a new user, form a new profile, be like, maybe be entirely anonymous, because it doesn't matter. We're just like another human data point, and we shouldn't allow them to monetize us. Like, yeah, they can track us across like this one session, and if they want to track us against multiple sessions, we can explicitly allow that. And we can put the power in the hands of the user to give permissions to share that data and to give permissions to interop that data between different websites. So if I want to share, let's say that I have a login to DAO, and I want to share that login to other websites and prove who I am, I should be able to share that part of my identity without revealing who I am. And I guess that gets into ZK, but like, ZK is also enabled by account abstraction. So what account abstraction means is that it just pushes all of the BS away from the user. That's it. You don't need to know.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, isn't it? Like, how EOAs and all of this community that we talk about, but we're all kind of isolated on our own separate islands. So you're saying that essentially the way that account abstraction would operate is it kind of brings down the barriers to entry. It breaks down the walls. You're no longer in a walled garden. You're just a sovereign individual operating on the internet without having anyone be able to kind of externally influence how it is that you're kind of operating. Is that correct?
Yeah, precisely. Full sovereignty. By the way, what?
For the new listeners showing up, thanks for joining in. Here we have the Abstract founders sharing on the Abstract Spaces as the host. So, yeah.
Yeah, and welcome Sheldon, PFC, Poral Brew, and Cheddar. If any would like, one of you would like to request the mic, talk about the interchain, talk about anything that you find cool going on right now, like, feel free. It's an open space. We just want to chill, have a good time, and talk about cool stuff, you know, because we're all nerds here, right?
And I'm here to grill the abstract team because that's what I do.
Yeah.
But yeah. Cool. Okay. So in terms of the, sorry, I totally segued away from what you guys were talking about because you're on a roll there. In terms of the whole full sovereignty piece, can you expand on that a little bit? How does that work? What does that look like? What does that mean for your average user?
So the sovereignty piece is quite unique in the sense that currently, like, basically every application that you use on blockchain, the code behind that application is either owned by nothing, by no one, or it's owned by the dev team who is shipping the code. And they can change the code that is running the application at any time that they really wish, unless it's controlled by governance. But then there's this whole governance process. And what if you don't agree with the governance proposal? What if you don't want this new feature, you don't like the risks it introduces or whatever? Then you don't really have a way to opt out of that. And what we kind of do differently at Abstract is we allow the user to create their own infrastructure on chain. So what we mean by that is you create an account with Abstract, and then you can install applications. But these applications are instances of a certain code, of a certain program. And you have ownership over those instances. So whenever there's an update, instead of those updates being pushed to you through governance or the dev team doing it themselves, you actually pull the updates whenever you want to get new features or to have new things in your application, new customizability, etc. And that's another component of it, the customizability, because if every instance of the contract is instantiated for each user individually, then you can give a lot more customizability to that user and give them more control over how often something should be run or certain assets, like what configurations they want. You can really make it as wild as you want.
So for the end user, I mean, specifically thinking about them, that level of customizability, is that something that they have to opt into, or is that just by default, or is it forced onto them where they need to like be having some kind of time to like get spun up and actually use their application? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's like, that's kind of a trade-off. But if you look at regular Web2 applications or like apps that you install on your phone, you install them without having to configure them, unless you have to like log in or whatever. But we solved that with a count abstraction. And it's only after you've installed the application that you get access to all the settings. So maybe you want to turn on dark mode, or you want to disable or enable notifications, stuff like that. We want to get closer to that, but then in the Web3 space. So currently you don't even have the options tab if you go to a Web3 application. We want to introduce that options tab, but still keep it like very undercover when the user is actually onboarding the application.
Okay, sick. So I guess tying it right back to the original question that kind of kicked all of this off, which was, you know, from a business use case, from a purpose-built standpoint, that level of customization, that level of sovereignty, it does prove resilience in some way, shape, or form, right? But that would also be predicated on the fact that devs would have to be building that with that in mind to kind of harden and strengthen what their app building process is. So within the Abstract team, what's the game plan to kind of showcase that to devs?
That's a great question. It's kind of a cold start problem. Because if you don't have good examples or actual users that are already using these kind of applications, then it's really hard for developers to to want to commit to a solution like this. But Adair actually read a really good book about Gold Start. So
I will amend his previous statement. I thought about reading that book. It's on my next next to read list. But I also lost a little bit of the context. I was busy jumping around over here, you know, burning off some energy. So
how did you not go to the gym yet?
No, I haven't gone to the gym. Just been we've been coding all day, chilling the interchain, you know. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, the context was kind of like just tying the whole sovereignty and the customizability in a Web3 context, which is what Abstract enables, and tying that back to the business use cases and purpose-built apps that would actually be able to showcase these million-dollar, multi-million-dollar companies that may have an interest in the technology stack itself, but just are like, hey, I don't want to be like the guinea pig that goes into the place first and like gets slaughtered. I'm not trying to do that. I'm going to wait until it's a little bit more hardened. How are we, like, at large and Abstract specifically, what's the game plan to kind of showcase that capability to devs so that devs are also thinking in that same mindset that you guys are?
Yes. So I guess that's actually a very broad but very good question. And it's still something that's open to discussion, but like we have to start small. We have to have something that like, you know, really showcases, you know, on Ethereum, like CryptoKitties, right? It was a novel use case. It was fun. People understood it. You can trade these little cats, you can breed them together, and you can make them better. And that was like, you know, simple smart contract application that showcased the use of infrastructure and the extensibility. It got developers inspired because the users were inspired. So yeah, it is like the cold start problem, as Robin or Howard mentions. So by building out little micro applications, we can start by showcasing different verticals of the infrastructure, so that we can start building up more complex applications. Because you can't start and build a rocket ship from day one. Like the tech slowly gets better. And so like we've seen this in like the different smart contract VMs as well. I mean, you know, starting with the EVM and then the additional VMs that followed. And now we have many. Like we have the EVM, Solana, Move, CosmWasm. We have NoLand VM. I think we have VMs in like half the programming languages out there. And the tech slowly improves. And as the infrastructure also improves. And so now we have the infrastructure, and now we just have to start, you know, start at the bottom of the stack again and build it all up. The difference between our journey now is that we don't want to build the same things that other ecosystems have built time and time again. I mean, I'm sure that everyone here is bored of the same apps, is bored of the new DEXs, or the new money markets. Oh, whoopity-doo, we have like a more efficient algorithm, costs like 30% less gas, but who cares? There's like the gas cost is very low anyway. And so we're hoping to inspire more people to innovate. And yeah, so I guess like, you know, let's toss the question back to you or back to any of the listeners. What would inspire you to develop an application, or what would inspire you to use a new application that comes out? You know, say that it felt like a Web 2 app. What would you use, or would you not use it because it felt like a Web 2 app and Web 2 just does it better? So yeah, tossing the question back.
Yeah, I think for me personally, I wouldn't mind some more Web 2-esque abilities. You know, like even just within the crypto industry, like having a centralized exchange app to be able to monitor my underwater positions and wait to see until, you know, my inevitable liquidation email comes through. It's a relatively simple, painless process to like access that, right? It's just a click or two and you know, just a couple of finger swipes and you're generally there. But if I'm trying to like make a swap on a DEX or something, it's brutal. Like, you got to get into your wallet. You got to hope and pray that Kepler actually has, like, you know, whatever app it is that you're trying to like make your swap on there. And if not, then, you know, generally I'm just like, I wouldn't consider myself to be like super highly technical, but I'm not like an absolute brainlet. But generally I'm just like, hey, you know what? Screw it. If I'm losing like 10% on like this giga nuke and you know, there's a cascading liquidation or whatever, I'm just going to lose a bunch of money until I get home back to my computer, and I'm just going to make my swaps there, and I'm just going to eat shit, right? Like, that's just how it operates for me, because it's just significantly more painless for me to just be on desktop doing that. I think having some more mobile first, like crypto apps that feel painless, that would probably inspire me to use things more and to stick around more. And this might be a purely psychological thing, but I think also there's like, there's a lot of dopamine that comes in when you have volatile assets and you see, oh, I'm up 10%, 15%, 20% today. But I think there's also like a level of stickiness and almost like just blandness to just having a stable USD value showing up on my front, on the front end. Like, if I'm looking at my bank account, I don't operate in USD. So I know my money's losing value compared to the USD every single day. That's just how it operates. And that's true for a lot of people worldwide, but it's also that boring blandness of having like a stable number for some people isn't so bad. And people that care to learn more about the granularities, if there was an option for them to see a more advanced, you know, screen which shows them all of that stuff, that would probably help, like, for a lot of, you know, non-crypto natives to actually stick around through bear markets, because at that point they're just using an app that's like a product or service that they would use regardless of a market cycle. It's not purely speculative. So I think that that's probably something that I would like to see more of within the crypto builders ecosystem. Just things that are built more for everyday use instead of cycle specific use, you know?
So numbers stay flat?
Not for everything. Like, I definitely want to have like my Gambify too. And I want to be able to know, like, you know, I'm about to make a really terrible decision on 100x leverage again, for the 40th time today. And, you know, when I want to opt into that, that's kind of the thing that I'm mentally signed up for. But, you know, if I'm looking to like listen to music, I don't want to know that the music that the currency that I bought my music in has gone down by like 90%, and all of a sudden, like, I just way overpaid for this song that I really enjoyed listening to, because now I'm going to hate the song, right? Like, it's just like having that dissociation away from the money versus the product, so that I can just enjoy the product a little bit more. So maybe not flatness, but like more, a little bit more like, you know, abstraction away from that, or, you know, things of that nature where you can kind of disassociate the things that you enjoy from the money and the value that you're gaining from them. And I think that would really help me and a lot of other people. Like we all onboard normie friends into crypto during bull markets, but then they're already losing out on like 5 to 10x because they don't want to get in during a bear market because there's so much negative press, because we're so speculatively driven. You know, that's usually the narrative. But if we were less speculatively driven and more product driven, then I think people would be like, yeah, I don't really give a crap if it's down 90%. At that point, they're now looking at it like a Black Friday sale, where they're like, oh, things are down. Okay, I guess I can buy it for cheaper. And it's like a very subtle shift in the way that people kind of approach things. And I would like to see a little bit more of that. Maybe, again, I'm a business guy, so maybe that's just me thinking about it from a strictly retail commerce perspective.
All right. Well, I'll take the opposite approach on that. I really like what you're saying about, like, you know, numbers stay stable and like the user doesn't want to see like their dollar value going down. And I mean, maybe not the opposite approach, but I think that we need to see less financialized applications out there. Like, not everything is about financials, and like, I think financial applications stress like half the population out, because people, like, money makes people stress. free money brings people in, but like money go down makes people leave and leave forever, because the it hurts a lot more to lose than it does than it feels good to gain. And so like I feel the value of all this infrastructure that we're building is not, you know, yes, we can become the backbone of the financial ecosystem, but that's not what it's about. It's about giving governance powers to underserved communities, or it's about building up communities. And communities in general, building more community-based applications and community-run and owned infrastructure. Like, let's say that you had a subreddit, and you should have the choice of enabling your users to have a token, or enabling your users to change core values or configurations of your subreddit. Or let's say that, you know, your subreddit wanted to host an in-person event. Like, you should be able to, you know, create an event, have people be able to RSVP, collect a little money for this event, and then make the event happen without having to rely on external infrastructure, without having to pay anybody additional fees. You should just be able to run it yourself as a community, and bring it all, you know, together. Because, like, as humans, we are very, very social creatures. And, like, a lot of the markets, like, the market euphorias and, like, the feeling of being close to other people who also have gone through the same trauma of, like, a market crash, it's all social reactions. Like, if we were in a vacuum, it wouldn't feel so bad, like, at all. It's just because there are other people that feel the same way. You get really, really excited, or you get really, really sad. And so, I guess, yeah, it's all about social, community, bringing it all together, and having a good time, you know, with your peers. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on. Like, when you were talking about the less financialization of everything, I think that we're both kind of saying the same thing, where, like, if you have a little bit less of that, like, all in mentality where everything has to be tied to the amount of money that you put in versus the amount of money that you get out in this net zero game, like, it's one of those things that it does put off a lot of people, because there's a lot less winners than losers every cycle, right? Like, because like the total population of crypto participants is growing, so you're getting a lot more people making money out of it, doesn't mean that the percentages and the ratios are much different. Like, we always hear that number where people are like, if you're a trader, 99% of them are going to lose and 1% of them are going to, you know, come out with money or break even. And I think that that's largely true. And I think that we tend to lean into that so much that those people that leave because they're part of that 99% on their first experience, but they went in with more than they can afford to risk, it does push people away. And then that also in turn gives us such bad press and bad, like, such a bad reputation that other businesses, they get either socially bullied out of using our infrastructure, like a lot of game companies did in this last cycle, where they opted into it and then they all just kind of abandoned it when they got so much pushback from their actual, you know, paying customers. It's one of those things that if we can, you know, remove the financialization of it and make it more about social, then, you know, there's no reason for gamers to not get super excited about NFTs. They should be, right?
No, they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be excited about NFTs. They should be excited about their games.
Yes.
They should be excited about playing their games. I want to use a website and I want to be like, wow, this is a great website. And then I want to come back later and be surprised, be shocked that it's actually built on decentralized infrastructure. It should never be the headline. Like, if it's the headline, it's a whole load of BS that they're just trying to play the investor game, right? Play the VC game and play it well. Well, the investors aren't listening anymore. They've been investing in infrastructure. Why? Because it's the back end. And, like, then they can push all of this crypto and, like, this, like, you know, cryptocurrency stuff in the background and they can invest in like things that actually matter, which are the applications and like the actual value creating and value capturing protocols that need to, like, that will legitimately change the world, right? Ooh, there's a cruise ship. And sorry, I interrupted you.
No. I love the fact that you did, because it really leans into like why it is that you're building what it is that you guys are building, right? Like, we were talking about account abstraction up until you kind of had that little rant about the gaming thing. I think that it was still kind of like an ephemeral idea where, you know, account abstraction, it's more about the social and this and that, but like, which, like, realistically, like within crypto, we always hear the buzzwords, but when you kind of got really passionate about that gaming piece where you're like, no, we need to get rid of that narrative. We need to get rid of people thinking that way. And we really need to make the headlines about, hey, the products themselves are better and people are now enjoying them. People are really like taking note. They're taking stock of like this improved experience that they're getting compared to what they used to be getting. And when they dig into it and dig real deep into it, and then they get surprised that it's all built on decentralized infrastructure, that'll really drive that value point home where, you know, people are going to be like, hey, you know what? Maybe this shit ain't so bad. Maybe it's not all a scam because I seem to enjoy it and I didn't even know I was using it. So like, in terms of getting to that point, you know, yes, I agree that like there's a little bit of effort that comes into it from us as an industry and us as like a company and you know, whatever else have you, and as builders, to be able to get those big players into it. But starting small, you were talking about mini apps, you were talking about things that Abstract's building. How does that kind of play into what it is that you were talking about, where you just create a generally good experience for the end user? You can talk about community here as well, right? Like in terms of the social aspects of it, like how is Abstract creating that social vibe?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, one of the ideas, you know, of course, behind account abstraction and mini applications is that you go on a website and you, maybe you sign up, maybe you don't, maybe you just visit the website and you have an account or you have like a database entry, essentially. That's all you can think about blockchains, right? You're just a little database entry. And that's created for you, for your user session, and then you interact with this application, and you can customize it to your needs. But like, you know, by doing this, you don't know that you're actually doing this. And the reason that we're creating mini applications, like for example, I have a real world problem. People will create meetings. They will schedule some of my time. And, you know, maybe I'll shift around some things in my schedule to accommodate for them. And then they were just not show up. They'll cancel it 5 minutes before the meeting, which in my mind is like, actually, it's just completely unacceptable. It's like someone slapping you in the face or like standing you up at a date. And so, you know, example mini application that I feel like, you know, a lot of people would actually use is someone misses a meeting with you. Well, sucks for you. If you reschedule, you have to place a deposit and you lose your deposit if you don't come to this meeting. And like, you know, maybe this happens once or twice. People start tweeting about it. And then it becomes something social, right? And something where, you know, someone misses a meeting with you twice and you're like, I've made $40 off this person and now I can have fun. And like making that $40, it's like finding a dollar or finding $10 on the street. It makes you feel very happy because it's like, you know, it's not that the $40 matters. It's that you got free money. And you're going to tell people about it. And I guess the whole point is that, you know, we can build these kind of applications on crypto rails. It's very, very simple. Makes your day-to-day life a little bit more interesting. It doesn't completely change the game, but it's a simple demonstration of the technology and the infrastructure. And it's a little gateway into a full self-sovereign app ecosystem. And that's what we want to see.
That sounds dope. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, especially the whole scheduling thing. I cannot agree with you more. Having people show up like 15 minutes late just because, you know, they kind of take the time for granted. Hey, worst case scenario, it's just a Calendly click. But the amount of effort that it goes into the person that got stood up is like, it's not just frustrating, but you're right. It's a massive inconvenience, and it can also like completely derail a day, right? Especially if you got a fully stacked schedule. We're going on a little over an hour. If any of the other listeners want to come up, maybe say something, because I've been talking everyone's ear off now, more than welcome to. And if not, that's also cool too.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you know, we're chilling in Lisbon. It's Friday night, and I think, you know, we could all use a break. It's been a crazy, amazing week with the market conditions. It's been really nice to see a little bit of green, or in Sal's case, a little bit of red on your chart since you view it backwards. So yeah, maybe we should just all enjoy our Friday nights and have a good weekend, and we can come again back next week.
That sounds good. Yeah. And
Interchill and chill.
Let's do another interchill and chill. And this time I will try not to be so adversarial if I get the chance to speak.
We need more adversarial. Yes. We need more opinions in the space.
Yeah, no, for sure. But yeah, that sounds great. Everyone, enjoy your Fridays. And if you're, depending on your time zone, if you're already early into Saturday, well, enjoy your weekends. This has been fun. Take it easy, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for your time. Thank you, Sal.
Cheers. Take it easy, guys. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality, stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality, stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats, tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality, stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.